Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Happy Thursday. Today is December 11th, 2014. I'm Michelle Pache, filling in for Jeannie, and I'm here today with Dr. Tim Hayes. We warmly welcome you to the show and thank you for choosing to be with us. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1 and that puts you into queue to talk with our host. We encourage you to call in with your comments or questions, allowing you to actively strengthen and deepen your practice. So now let's welcome Tim in the process of learning and experiencing Aramaic forgiveness.
Thank you, Michelle. How are you? What's the update? What's the status?
I am doing well. Thank you for asking. Getting ready to finish out the work week and head to Miami for a week-long Caribbean cruise.
Sounds like fun.
All available through the process of Aramaic forgiveness.
Oh, the cruise is compliments of forgiveness?
Sure. I'm clearing so much fear and hostility along the way, then allows room for abundance and fun and joy and going with my husband and looking forward to just... Actually, I was telling Monty yesterday, my idea is that because I don't have any distractions and there's no self-service and such, that I can just do worksheets, like Olympic-style worksheets.
You can do worksheets. What was the last sentence you said? Like what?
Like Olympic style. Like just,
Olympic
power out
style worksheets. Okay. Well, that's an interesting concept.
Like an Olympian,
please,
right? Like a champion.
Well, please give us an update when you return about how the Olympian style worksheets are turning out.
yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
All right, so we're here to teach and support people in learning and applying the tool of forgiveness from the ancient Aramaic, which really is deceptively simple and deceptively powerful as a process. And one of the things that we have to do in order to accomplish that goal is define forgiveness differently than most of us have defined it over the years. And most of us have defined forgiveness in our culture as pardoning somebody, making a determination that someone or something outside of you has caused a problem or an upset inside of you, and that they should be punished and they should have sanctions against them, and then deciding that you're going to be more magnanimous and more lenient and let them off the hook and quit being angry at them and not demand that they be punished for the horrible thing that they did. And that's a definition of pardoning. And that's a useful thing to do so that you don't spend a lot of time chasing after other people with negative energy. However, it's not the definition we need to use to apply forgiveness as a powerful tool in our lives. The definition we need to have for that purpose is forgiveness is a tool for going inside myself into my mind-body energy system and removing whatever's in there that causes me discomfort, anger, fear, sadness, hurt, shame, guilt, self-condemnation, self-loathing thoughts. All of these things are the warning sign. That's my system trying to tell me, hey, Tim, your thoughts are off the mark. You're not thinking accurately the way your creator thinks, the way the source of life, energy, and creative force wants to think through you. You are in conflict with your true nature in this moment, and that's why you're uncomfortable. And Tim, what we really want you to do is line up your thoughts and your energy with the way the creator thinks about you, with the way the source energy that wants to flow through you thinks about you, with the way other people who are coming from a space of love view you. And that is that you're perfect just the way you are. You're the energy of creation expressing on this physical plane. And your purpose is to be consciously aware of your true nature and extend that true nature, that energy of love and creation, in every interaction with yourself and everybody else. And so if my alarm system goes off and I recognize that I'm not comfortable, and I recognize that comes from needing to remove an energy within my own system that doesn't belong there, then I can apply the tool of forgiveness. And the tool of forgiveness has been made available to us by Dr. Michael Rice and his wife Jeannie, and you can go to www.whyagain.org, and you can click on the link that says start here, or you can click on the link that's a red and white bullseye, and it will take you to a page where you can download the most recent version of the 7-step worksheet process. And chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And then there's another link you can click on that will take you to a page where you can download hours of shows like this, where Dr. Rice or his wife Jeannie have stepped someone through the worksheet process. Real people calling in with real emotional pains, real upsetting situations in their life, and they've been stepped through the process of forgiveness, which is outlined on this worksheet called the Reality Management Worksheet. And step by step, as people do those worksheets, they literally cancel and remove and dismantle from their mind and from their body's energy system those things that don't belong there. Those things that when they resonate inside my system generate a discomfort, generate a pain, a sadness, or a fear. And I think the best use of that discomfort or pain or sadness or fear is to wake me up to the fact that my thoughts are out of alignment with the thoughts of the Creator, with the observation of life itself that's trying to express through me. And what I need to do in that moment is remove from my thought, my body's energy field, anything that would keep me from seeing the way the Creator sees. Anything that would keep me out of alignment with peace, calm, love, compassion, acceptance, allowance, surrender. All these words we use to try and point at an experience. None of those words really mean anything. But the experience that can be had when we cancel and remove the negatives goes clear beyond any of these words. But these words are the closest we can come to pointing in the right direction. And our invitation on this internet show is for you to practice this tool of forgiveness and watch what happens in your life and see if you can put yourself in an experience that will validate for you that your true nature is the energy of love, that the Creator holds that for you, the Creator extends that into you and offers you to be able to extend that to others in every moment. So that's what we're here to support people in doing, and we'd love to hear your questions or your comments, because every question's a good question, and even people who've been doing this work for 20 or 30 years, including Dr. Rice himself, benefit by answering or listening to the answer to even the most fundamental question. So, Michelle, I'll open it up to you and see if anybody has their hand up or if there's anything going on in the chat room.
Nobody has a hand up right now, so feel free, press 1, and we'll get to you right away. And there's a few guests, and Peace and Angela in the chat room, and just checking in with them. No questions, so. Oh, here we go. Area code 606. You're on the air. Who do we have, and where are you calling from?
I think you meant to say 607. Hi, Michelle. It's Richard.
Oh, hey, Richard. I was so cool to hear your voice the other day. I remember thinking, like, you know, he has been missing in action.
Something like that. Well, it's always wonderful to hear Dr. Tim explain the forgiveness process. So I love hearing him talk about it.
I totally agree with you.
And anyway, I just wanted to follow up from yesterday when I forget who it was that called in about the paradigm question, joke, or whatever she wanted to call it. Remember that?
Oh, and Julie, the paradigm of...
About the old paradigm, the new paradigm. It's sort of like the idea of forgiveness is letting go of the old and bringing in the new, right? Changing your attitude. Is that a good summary of the old paradigm and new paradigm?
Well, that would be the traditional definition. I think what Julie was trying to bring out was that the real difference between the old paradigm and the new paradigm is something that isn't either. It's living in the present moment without judging it and developing a belief system about it. I think that's what she was referring to.
Oh, okay. I guess I didn't quite get that.
Well, you know, it's my take on it is that because I come from teachings like Krishnamurti and some of the other teachers that really, like David Bohm, they really talk about how every time I formulate a belief about something, I'm now talking about something that's old, that's dead, that's in the past. And direct observation of what is happening in this moment with the clearest possible filters is what reveals to me the truth, or what is. And every time I try to grab a hold of that and label it and then claim that I own it or my teacher owns it and my teacher knows the truth and this and that, whatever that is, now we're talking about words which are probably two or three levels removed from actuality. You know, words are symbols of symbols. And they're stuck. Not only that, but the meaning that gets resonated in my mind when I say a word may be entirely different from the meaning that gets resonated in your mind when you say a word. So my take on what Julie was saying when she said, here's the riddle, what's the difference between the old paradigm and the new paradigm, both of which are false representations. It's like taking a snapshot of a person and saying, this snapshot is Tim Hayes. Well, it's just not possible. You can't represent all that is in a human being with a snapshot or a photo. And a paradigm is that. It's a distillation, it's a distortion, an interpretation, a labeling of something. And as Krishnamurti would say, the word or the label is not the thing itself. So when I say the word tree, or even if I if I write this wonderful poem, Elizabeth Barrett Browning's poem about the tree, is nothing in comparison to an actual tree. And beyond that, even Abraham Hicks says, remember that what is old news. So if I stay focused on my paradigm, or even I stay focused on what I observed 10 minutes ago, I'm missing what's going on right now. And if I try to relate to what's going on right now based on what I observed 10 minutes ago or 10 days ago or 10 years ago, I'm going to create all kinds of distortions and problems in my life. Does that make sense, Richard?
Yeah, I think I get it now. I think I guess I just didn't quite get that yesterday. So, yeah, that's a good clarification. Thank you.
Well, I'm not even sure that that's what Julie meant, and that's part of the issue, is what I take from her words might be something different than what you took or what Julie had actually intended. So that's why it's so important to understand that we're just discussing and sharing, and then the point of the discussing and sharing is for each of us to move ourselves into an experience in the moment which is more loving, which is more peaceful, which is more creative and joyful.
And maybe she'll call in and say, yes, you heard what I said. Somebody got it, right?
Yeah, and maybe she'll call in and say, well, no, Dr. Tim, that really wasn't what I meant at all. And that's
there
okay,
you go.
Too.
That's good. Okay, well, thanks, Dan. Love hearing you. Take care.
All right. Thank you. It's good to hear your voice. Keep us posted.
Will do.
Okay, Michelle?
Well, interestingly, I think Julie might be on the line here, 541. Hello, 541, you're on the air.
Hi. I was on mute. Can you hear me?
Hi, Julie.
Yeah. Hi there. Hi. Thank you. I'm so glad this conversation is continuing. Let me just clarify a little bit of where I was going with it. There were a few weeks ago on Aramaic Fridays, it might have been a month now, where Dale was talking about calibration. And I've had these thoughts often also. And basically what I'm saying about the difference between an old paradigm and a new paradigm, I was correlating it to the worksheet process and how we are actively, consciously removing old beliefs. A paradigm is kind of a collective of beliefs. Now, I don't have a formal definition or a scientific definition, but it's something that we hold. And so then in moving to a new paradigm, as people talk about so much, I feel in my experience that I'm moving towards new design, new creation, when I'm actively, consciously removing the old things that I've created. And there's, I believe, a law somewhere people speak of, either scientifically or spiritually, that when you set something in motion with your I am creator energy, it's in motion. And then, you know, it goes into our unconscious because we forget all these things we've set in motion. And maybe we've locked them down as beliefs and physical, actual modes of operation in our world. So as we're undoing this, and moving towards a new paradigm, it is a now moment. It's a now creation. And we could be creating from whatever's still in play by our old beliefs that we haven't removed yet, that's still in motion, or it could be some active, conscious, loving, new creation. So that's part of what I was saying. And then what I mean by calibration of the collective mind, I often have wondered, well, how is it that our one mind is really working? And I'm talking about the mind that's in operation in the world, not our our higher essence, loving, intelligent mind. We draw our creator source energy into this mind that we use to create our realities. So that mind, when any of us are doing our work to clear out an old paradigm or set of beliefs that were in play in our life and we now want removed and we're setting a new paradigm in motion, when any of us, in any manner that we do this work, whatever path leads us to it, I feel is contributing to the whole collective mind, which is a continuum of calibration. So it's kind of like when you go to sleep and then you wake up in the morning, things have calibrated, and it's actually happening in every moment. So that, to me, offers a lot of possibility, and I am able to free up myself more quickly and easily from fearful, old, held-on-to beliefs. And that's what I was basically saying.
Okay. Well, thank you for the clarification. And I would just put in through there the idea I was putting out with Richard, which is that a paradigm has extraordinarily limited application for the kind of work we're doing here. And that a paradigm immediately limits and immediately becomes something that's dead and from the past. And this work is about learning to remove as much of that as possible so that we can have much more direct, a much clearer filter perception of actuality in the moment. And then what gets birthed through that is a better representation of what we will discover, this creative energy that wants to express through us, as you're talking about.
Oh, I like that clarification. Yeah, I like that. I go along with that. Thank you.
All right. Anything else we can help you with today?
Support you
with personally or in questions about this work?
I love the reminder of things birthing continually in the now and learning to live there, live in actuality. So, yeah, it is it's dead as soon as we speak it. And so even as I try to form a new paradigm with words, that it's dead already. And I think that's a valuable actuality or a valuable law that's in operation that actually assures us that we're not stuck, that there is a way out. So I guess that's it for me today. Thanks.
All right. You're very welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
What were you saying, Michelle?
Well, I actually had kept Richard on because I had wanted to see if her clarification, you know, was helpful at all or if he had any more questions about it while she was still here. So,
Basically, I think she just said what I said when she first came on. I think she basically reiterated what I thought she had said, was that by doing the worksheet process, you're clearing up the old stuff, letting it go, and changing your mind about a situation and living in a new paradigm. That's what I heard from her this time.
That sounds right. That sounds right. And the
so,
way to
gave an example. Did you hear what I said?
Yes. That is an example. Anything else, Richard?
No, just like I said, I love hearing you talk about the forgiveness process and just can't say enough how much I appreciate hearing you on the show.
Well, I'm glad you're finding it useful, and I hope it It provides little energetic boosts for you to put yourself in a place where you experience a greater appreciation of your own creative energy and love and your own contribution on the planet.
Thank you.
All right, you're welcome.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Have a great day.
Thank you.
So, Michelle, comments, questions?
I think you can summarize the whole thing, just at least for me. I just keep remembering now in terms of integrating that in a way so that it becomes more automatic. And I also like the comfort that comes, one of the last things Julie was talking about is the impermanence of things. And, I think that can be a helpful reminder. Like, I know with some of my clients, sometimes if they're suffering, it worsens because it feels like it's going to be forever. And then just feel, in a mindful way, knowing that, everything is temporary and it's constantly changing. And so there's some peace just in really integrating that as well.
Yes, as a matter of fact, Guy Finley does what I think is a wonderful piece on how every bit of suffering that we do is a result of us trying to create a sense that the world is stable, that it is solid, that it is permanent. And if you realize that even as you look at a tree, it's growing and changing. If you realize that the air you're breathing has been cycled through body after body after body, that everything, and they're talking about with quantum physics these days, that particles, the actual, quote, energy packets that you're made up of, or the particles that it seems we're made up of, they pop in and out of existence moment to moment. And so, in actuality is constantly changing. It's constantly in a flow and flux. And so, anytime we think we're stuck, it's because we created the fantasy that we're stuck. And we're denying actuality, which is constantly changing. One of the things that Michael Rice says is, you've got a body that you think is solid, and you've got an illness or a problem in that body that you think is chronic, and yet, depending upon which database you draw from, every cell in your structure is going to be replaced either within the next year or the next 7 years, depending upon which theory you go with. So if every cell in your body is going to be replaced within a year to 7 years, how could you have the same illness or the same problem or the same pattern that you have now unless you're holding on to it, unless you're creating it somehow, unless you're disrupting the creative energy that wants to flow through you in its perfection, that wants to express through you as a healthy eye and a healthy elbow and a healthy big toe. So,
well, fair enough, Dr. Kim. However, if someone's past thoughts and the neuropeptide that was released and replicated in the cell is the 95% that's unconscious, then your ability maybe to wade through that 95% that's unseen to find the cause of, let's say, the gallbladder sludge, then, maybe it would be replicating the disease cell and keeping
that's
the...
That's exactly what's happening. That's exactly what happens. We keep replicating the disrupted pattern. We're in agreement,
but
Michelle.
But as far as like on a conscious level, knowing what exactly, you know, how you have these 77 times 70 things, and then, you know, there's an abyss of negativity and energy, I guess, that could be stored, that you know, how would you necessarily know what to be aware of in order to heal the body in a certain disease state?
You can't, and don't even try, because that's the trap of the egoic mind trying to figure things out. That mind that you're talking about right now that's trying to make sense of this has no idea how you digested the food you ate yesterday. It really doesn't even know how to get you up out of a chair and across the room. So, I'm right with you. You may not want to hear this, but I agree with you 1,000%. There is no way. There is no way you'll ever figure it out. And so there's no reason to generate a thought of guilt or shame or blame. And there's no way your conscious logical mind is ever going to sort that out. As a matter of fact, some of the wisest minds I've ever tapped into say, that's not what it's here for. That's not its purpose. My conscious logical mind, its purpose is to get me dressed in a way that keeps me from getting arrested for indecency. And it's there to keep me on the road and driving a car safely. It's not there to sort out my issues with gallbladder sludge or, you know, weak ankles or heart arrhythmia or cancerous tumors. It's not there for any of that. As a matter of fact, some would say it's the misuse of that conscious logical mind to try and function in a realm it was never intended to function in, to try to control things it was never intended to control, which is causing the disruption in the energy system, which is ultimately expressing as the disease.
Okay, Einstein, I hear that.
Says,
you.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say yesterday when you gave the example of the movie where the gentleman said, you know, what have I taken from you, your control? And he corrected him and said, no, the illusion of control. And that I thought that was quite a profound stuff with me the rest of the day in terms of really, you know, that we don't have that control. I guess I was, when you were saying about the cells, you know, not repeating in the every, replacing themselves, you know, every year, every 7 years, what have you, that if someone was specifically targeting a particular health issue, then maybe a mind shifter related to that versus doing worksheets, you know, every time that upset's coming up related to something random?
Well, I don't know exactly where you're going with this, but I would say instead of doing a mind shifter or a worksheet on a physical illness, do it on the upset over the physical illness.
Sure, yeah, that's a good correction. Yeah.
Because the conscious logical mind, as Einstein said, we've been given this precious gift and this faithful servant. The precious gift is the intuitive mind, the ability to tap into a mind far greater than our conscious logical mind. And the faithful servant is supposed to be the conscious logical mind that helps me drive my car safely from point A to point B, helps me pay my bills on time when it's time to do something relative to the physical world and the actuality I'm living in. But the intuitive mind is the precious gift. And we're living in a world that has forgotten the precious gift and elevated the servant to the level of master. Now, just think about if he's even half right in that. Think about how many classes you had in school that taught you to develop and strengthen your intuitive mind. Do you remember them? Do you know the course curriculum numbers for them? How many were there? How many each year did you have to sit through? zero. If you're like most of us, not one.
Right.
You know, here's a news flash. Einstein was really smart, and he's right. We've created a culture that has literally forgotten the importance of developing intuition and tapping into that higher mind. And we have discussion after discussion, and we want to have arguments about who's right and who's wrong, and my teacher is better than your teacher, and this paradigm works better than that paradigm. And people go to war over beliefs. People go to war over paradigms. And the best spiritual teachers I've ever tapped into say again and again, drop it. Learn to move into the intuitive mind. Learn to move into direct observation in the moment. Learn to identify the frustration, the tension, the energy within you that comes up every time you judge, which means you hold to a belief. I think I mentioned it just yesterday. Way of Mastery says, if you knew what happens, even in the very cellular structure of this thing you call a body, every time you judge, you would never judge again. That doesn't mean you don't observe. You can observe and you can discern the difference between one thing or another without having to throw emotional energy on it and say that you love one and hate another. It's okay to identify through discernment that you have a preference for one thing over another. But this is the difference between saying, I'm right and you're wrong, and saying, well, as I look at this situation, this seems right for me, and what you're proposing does not seem right for me. It may be right for you. So as we're talking about this and we're talking about paradigms, Julie from Ashland, Oregon, might say, you know what, I don't agree with Dr. Tim. I think a new paradigm is very useful. I've created a new paradigm. It's really helped me move forward, and it's really helped me move into new experiences of being more loving. And that's fine. And I don't have to say she's wrong. I can say that's right for her, and this action, this perception, this set of steps to move toward an experience is what's right for me. And that's what we're trying to encourage people to do in this work. Don't believe us. Don't follow Dr. Tim. Don't follow Dr. Rice. Don't follow anybody. But tap into your own source, your own creative source, the energy of creation that wants to express through you. Realize that it's always there. You cannot disconnect from it. You can focus on things other than your creative energy source, your creator, the energy of love that is you, whatever you want to call it, but it never goes away. You can't disconnect from it. It is all there is. And it is trying to express through you in every moment. And if you put yourself into alignment, so here's this word that Julie was using, calibration. Calibration, the way Dale was using it in the show a few weeks ago, resonated with me very much the way Abraham talks about. Put yourself into the frequency, align yourself with the frequency of the creative energy source. It's like Dr. Rice talks about in several of his lectures that the ancient Aramaic word for prayer can properly be interpreted as setting a trap for God, or tuning yourself to the frequency of creative energy, of life, of love that is trying to express through you. And when you do that, you experience it more. But if you tune your AM radio dial to, you know, 780, and the creative energy source is trying to broadcast on FM 97.9, you don't get so much of it. The signal doesn't come through. It's not because it's not there. It's because you haven't aligned yourself, or you haven't calibrated yourself, or you haven't opened yourself to it enough. You haven't moved into allowance and surrender with intention enough. It's always there. And some would say, it's all there is. And everything that's less than love is false. Everything that's less than love is an egoic creation. And ego is, by definition, the result of fear. Ego is, by definition, a false creation that attempts to negate actuality, that attempts to create a sense of separation where there is no separation. Everything's connected. As Einstein said, if you think you're living separate or separated from anyone or anything, you're living in an optical delusion. Everything is connected. And that sense of separation that we create becomes a prison for us. The way we have a preference to like certain people or things, certain affections for people and things closest to us, literally creates a prison for us. And our job must be to dismantle that prison by extending our acceptance, our allowance, and our surrender, and our love to everyone and everything that we ever encounter. How did I get here? What am I talking about now? So, Michelle.
I'm sure that most people are, I'm feeling like I'm lulled into this zone of understanding, and it's very soothing, and, you know, because everything you're saying fits together and moves on to the next piece and the next piece, and it's kind of like I'm feeling like I'm getting a download of spirituality. But we can invite other people to offer their comments about that dialogue or anything they might have in terms of clarifying some of the points.
Anybody have a hand up, or anybody in the chat room want to comment on that? Or anything. Anything, even if we haven't talked about it yet today.
I mean, you know, it's interesting because I was going to write this to piece that he, writes in a style that, like we were talking about the different definitions of words. So he might use a word that means something to him, but when I read it, means something different to me. So, like, intuitively, I know that he is making sense in terms of the concept, but sometimes, like, it feels like it's over my head. And so I'm like, I wish there was a peace translator, because seems to be living these concepts and really is able to language them, but maybe at a different level than I'm completely getting. So that's the chat room right now.
Okay, well, it is a blessing to have people like Peace that tune in on a regular basis and share. I know that Jeannie and others have commented about their appreciation for the energy that Peace gives and the chatting that goes on. So thank you for being there, Peace. And interrupt me if there's a caller, but I'll just tell a quick story that Guy Finley tells about this kind of thing we were talking about. He says there's a...
Great.
Do you have somebody?
No, I said it's great that you're going to tell us a story.
Oh, okay. So there's a World War II plane that is full of men, and they crash in one of the atolls and one of the islands out there in the sea. And everybody survives, as always happens in these crashes, but in the crash, the provisions are limited and the radio is broken, so they can't transmit, they can only receive. And so the lead officer calls a private to him and says, now look, we're down here in the valley and we're hiding in these caves and there's no good radio reception down here. But if you go up to this hill at night where it's dark and the enemy won't see you, I want you to take this radio up there and just sit and listen. Because we know we gave our location right before we crashed, so we know our people know where we are, and we know they're going to send somebody to rescue us. So all I need you to do is go up there and listen. Just keep the radio tuned here to these frequencies where our people will be broadcasting, and when you get something, you let me know, and we'll go get rescued. So the private takes the radio up the hill at midnight, and he's there until just before light, and he comes back down, and the colonel comes over and says, so, what'd you get? And he said, nothing. He said, all right, are you sure? I didn't hear a thing. All right. So then the next night, the same thing happens, and the guy comes back early in the morning, and the colonel goes to him and says, okay, so what'd you hear? And the private says, nothing. And the next night, it happens again. Now, after the third night, the colonel is really suspicious. So when the private goes up the hill at midnight, the colonel follows him. And he hides where the private can't see him, and he finds that the private is up there on this radio just surfing the dial. And he's scanning, and he hears somebody talking in Japanese, and then he scans until he hears somebody talking in German, and then he scans and he hears somebody talking in Latvian, and he scans and he hears Russian, and he's spending time listening to all of these other languages, and the colonel comes out behind his from his hiding place and says to the private, what are you doing? Good Lord, man, he says, I studied your personnel file. I know you don't speak any other languages. Why aren't you listening to the frequency where we can receive the message about how we get rescued? And the private said, whoa, Colonel, I didn't want to be up here all by myself. We're just like that. We have the message of creation that's trying to express through us every moment. We have the gift of this intuitive mind that is trying to get us to wake up, listen to that still small voice, find the next right action, take the step on the path that will lead us to all the abundance we want. It's in us. It's constantly transmitting. And we fill our minds with focus on the material, with paradigms, with politics, with pursuit of, quote, happiness, unquote, and distractions that prevent us from hearing, from receiving, from tuning into, and then expressing the voice for creation and love that is trying to express through us in each moment. Tune in, get tapped in and turned on, and watch what happens. That's all I have for today.
Oh, will you do me a favor and repeat the punchline? Because in my end, the voice got a little bit quiet, and I didn't nearly catch what the private said.
The private said, but Colonel, I didn't want to be up here all by myself. I didn't want to just sit up here and listen to static. I'd rather hear another human voice, even though I don't speak the language.
Got it.
The private got lonely. He was sent up there to listen until the transmission came through about where and when they would get picked up, and nothing was coming through but static. So he would scan the dial just listen for any human voice, even though he didn't even know the language and he couldn't make sense of it and it wasn't ever going to help him. But he preferred that to just being tolerating the tension or the frustration or the loneliness that would come from sitting up there in the dark quietly, as Yeshua said, go into the closet and close the door. It means go quietly inside yourself, close your eyes. If you close your eyes, you shut out at least 80% of the stimulation that hits your mind in any moment. That's why we ask people to close their eyes in meditation. 80%, minimum of 80% of the stimulation in your brain is coming through your visual cortex. So close your eyes. Take a few deep breaths. Why do we ask people to breathe? Because it has them. You cannot focus on your breath and not be centered inside yourself. It will immediately pull your attention into your physical body. Go ahead, Michelle.
Well, I was just thinking that that would be a better ratio then. So instead of 10,000 bits, you only got 2,000 bits. So when you're picking your 9, you might have a better outcome. It's a better ratio. You're talking about, you know, and the funny thing to me is like, well, that would be like saying it's better to go through your life with your eyes closed.
Oh, for many of us, it would be better. For many of us, that would be better.
It's just funny to me. Well, it doesn't tickle me, right? It resonates the irony.
So have we stimulated any thoughts?
I wanted to let you know that Peace offers that it's his pleasure to participate and share, and thanks, says, you know, you're very welcome and appreciative of your, you know, kind words.
Well, it's mutual.
Yeah, sometimes I'll save the chat and then read it later really, really slow. And then it seems to make more sense.
Well, we have just a few minutes left, but there is time for a caller. It's about six minutes as my clock details it. So if anybody has a question or a comment based on the ramblings of today, 646-200-4169. We'd appreciate your call. We appreciate the feedback. We appreciate the energy of those who are listening. And we're very grateful to have you here. And we're grateful to be able to share this powerful work. So, since you're not speaking, I guess there's nobody there with a hand up. So, let me just say again, the Reality Management Worksheet tool is the primary tool available for free through the website, but it is just one of many. One of my favorites is the Codependence to Interdependence Worksheet, and that can be distilled down to something I have been telling people for a lot of years now as the following sentence. I will never be upset about anything that anybody else ever says or does or fails to do that I think they should, unless I am already judging myself negatively for having done the same or similar things. Now, since this goes against most conditioning, I'll say that again. I will never be upset about anything that anybody else ever says or does or fails to do that I think they should, unless I'm still judging myself negatively for having done the very same or very similar things. This includes murder. This includes highway robbery. This includes slander and libel. This includes theft. And if you're like many of the people listening to this, you will say, I have never murdered anybody. That's the most bizarre thing anybody's ever said to me. And my response would be, do you mean to say you've never had a murderous thought in all of your years in childhood on the playground, in sports events, and any time you've heard about a mass murderer or a child abuser, you never had a thought that you wanted to hurt or kill or obliterate someone else? Don't believe it, but try it on. Try observing this. Watch the liberty that can be introduced into your life if you accurately discover the source of your upset in any situation. And this is just another way to fine-tune the awareness that the source of my upset is always within me. Questions, comments?
No, actually, Dr. Kim, I think you're doing such a great job with the monologue that people are just enjoying listening. I know I am.
Okay. Well, I would point people to the codependence to interdependence worksheet, and you may not be able to recognize it from what I just said, but the worksheet, which is available for free download from the website, has you list on the left side of the page everyone who's ever offended you. And then the next column, it asks you to list what they did that offended you. And then in the next column, it asks you to list what's your punishment thought for them. What is it that you think should happen to them as punishment for this horrible thing they did to you? And then in the next column, you're supposed to write, what's your advice to that person who did this thing that offended you or hurt you? And then you prepare that, and when Dr. Rice gives this talk, he says, make at least 12. You know, get 6 to 12 people listed who've done something in the past that you found offensive, and list what they did, what your punishment thought is, and what your advice is to them. And you have these four columns all filled out. And then in the final column, after you've got those things all filled out, go through and write a description of how you're going to apply your advice to them in your life. Because, again, I will never be upset about anything anybody else ever says or does unless I'm still judging myself negatively for having done the same thing. Another thing I tell people is every time, without exception, every time I give somebody advice, however good it might be for them, it's also something that I need to do in my life. And it wouldn't come out of my mouth in the form of advice unless it was pretty darn important for me to do it. So that's our show today. Please come back tomorrow. Hopefully Michael will be back. If we're really lucky, even Dale Allen Hoffman. And in the meantime, have the best year yet of your eternal life. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.